Step away from the car.
Step away from the car.
Step away from the car. Some news about active transport.
If they are given a choice, children prefer walking and cycling over other modes. So we all know that. So all the research is supporting that.
Cycling's about 3 or 4 times faster than walking, but because we've got that big gender difference in cycling in Australia, then a lot of the mothers who could potentially accompany their kids to school by bike don't.
Jan Garrard is Senior Lecturer in Public Health at Deakin University, who not only loves to walk and cycle herself, but has spent 20 years researching active transport and how to promote it. Julia Gilbert is a PhD candidate in urban and regional planning, investigating children's active transport, especially getting to and from school. Is it a women's issue?
All the statistics are showing that boys are more likely to do active transport than girls. So it is... the gender definitely has a big say in this issue.
I'm interested in promoting both walking and cycling. Walking tends to be a more female-oriented activity. Cycling tends to be a more male-oriented activity. So that when you're looking at parents who might be encouraging or discouraging their children from walking or cycling to school, there's certainly a gender strand there as well. I think, domestic responsibilities is definitely an issue. Employment among women. We found in our study that women who were employed full-time were much less likely to be using active travel to school than women who were employed part-time or not employed outside the home. The other one is when we allow children to move around in their neighbourhoods, including to and from school, independently, without being accompanied and supervised by an adult. And we tend to allow boys to do that at an earlier age than girls. And as children age, the gap between the boys and the girls increases. It starts in late childhood, early adolescence, and it continues through to adult walking and cycling behaviour.
Do you want to just give us the essence of what you have discovered about active transport and children?
The main thing... if they are given a choice, children prefer walking and cycling over other trips, other modes. So we all know that. So all the research is supporting that. But when we look at the actual travel patterns, that's not happening. So I sometimes feel like we're just kind of forcing children into, those little boxes against their will and denying them so many opportunities, like opportunities to play and interact and learn the environment, engage in those environments they are growing in.
As Julia said, if you ask children, nearly all of them prefer to walk or cycle or skate or scoot to school. My study actually found that parents would prefer it too. So a lot of parents said things like, well, the goal is to cycle, but there were lots of buts. So our study was all about identifying the buts and understanding it. So if parents and children all have a preference for it, but they're not doing it, that's a warning bell. You've got major barriers here. For independent active travel, the major, major barrier is traffic safety. So parents want them to have lots of knowledge, understanding of safe walking and cycling skills, but they also want them to practice them in real life settings, which you don't always get at school. So that's a big contribution from parents there, to be out with their children, teaching them, well, this is the road rule, but just watch out for that car. It might not stop at that pedestrian crossing. So traffic safety was a big one. Stranger danger to some extent, but less so. And when you look at parent-accompanied active travel to school, different factors emerged. We found that distance is important, but it's more travel time and parents' restricted time. So at about 1 kilometre between home and school, that's when the big drop-off happens between active travel and car travel, because parents can't find that time. But some supports for parent-accompanied, very wide recognition of the benefits. We thought that maybe some parents might not think that active travelling was a good form of physical activity. They might think you've got to go and run marathons to get fit. Didn't find that at all. A lot of our mothers said they don't get enough physical activity, so there's potential there. That's where cycling could kick in, because cycling's about 3 or 4 times faster than walking, but because we've got that big gender difference in cycling in Australia, then a lot of the mothers who could potentially accompany their kids to school by bike don't. And so we could do a lot more about women and everyday cycling, to the shops, to school, to friends' places, and then they could help their children do it. And we'd be addressing the time distance barrier in the in the travel to school at the same time as we're creating a more livable community, you know, encouraging women to get a bit more physical activity. So it ticks a lot of boxes.
What do we know needs to happen? What do you two know about that?
We know that we need a combination of different actions. Clearly, infrastructure-related solutions include more provision of cycling, walking infrastructure, and also maintenance of the existing ones. And non-infrastructure solutions include so many different educational programs, obviously. So starting from teaching kids earlier how to ride and how to negotiate traffic to and maintain these educational programs while they're at school.
So we've all heard of SunSmart schools, healthy eating schools, naked food schools, anti-bullying schools. You know, I would like to see active transport schools. And within that, you'd have your educative programs. You'd be encouraging parents to participate so they can help children with the experience side of it as well. You'd have road safety strategy around the school that protects children, that keeps them safe, that then helps parents feel comfortable about allowing their children to walk or cycle in that space. So a multi-pronged strategy, and I like to think of that umbrella term of, you know, this is an active travel school. And multiple programs, policies, initiatives can sit within that and hopefully bring about change.
Jan Garrard, Senior Lecturer in Public Health at Deakin University, and Julia Gilbert, who's a PhD candidate in Urban and Regional Planning at the University of South Australia. This segment was recorded at the 2017 Australian Walking and Cycling Conference and produced by Nikki Page.